This is Kermit the Frog, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You get a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, but the bottle, that's the way it is. He says body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. Had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone. Be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. You sell drinking late at the bar. See more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
We are young, heartache to heart, mystical. No promises, no demands. Love is a battle.
That was Pat Benatar with Love is a Battlefield. That about wraps it up for this edition of Crimson 80s here on 90.7 FM The Capstone. I want to thank you again for listening, and we're going to close it out with When in Rome's The Promise.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling. The views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Further, any opinions heard on the show are not meant to replace professional health care and mental health treatment. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional help and are a UA student, you are encouraged to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, it's straight up 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting live from the WVUA FM studio, 90.7, the Capstone on the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening, I'm Dr. BJ Gunther, and of course I'm the host of the show. In case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, in particular UA students. You can listen to us live each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM or online at www.wvuafm.ua.edu. Tonight we'll be taking questions for either myself or my guest via email. So if you have questions, email them to brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. And let me remind you, like I remind you every week, that this is not a call-in show, so I ask you don't call into the station with questions at this time, but you may email the questions to the address I just gave you. Hopefully in the future we'll be able to go to a call-in show, but there needs to be a few more things in place for us to be able to do that. Also, if you have ideas for upcoming shows, this is our seventh show tonight, so we'll be winding down the semester in a few weeks. And then we'll be starting back with the spring topics. So if you have some suggestions for topics, email them to brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. And, of course, I'll consider using the topics. I thought we'd talk about something a little different tonight, but definitely pertinent to the students here on the campus. Student Affairs is a division that deals with, at UA, that deals with everything that is student life, including the Counseling Center, housing, the Career Center, Office of Student Media, let me think of what else, Rec Center, and there's many other departments, and we'll get to that in a little bit. So if it has to do with talking, socializing, or helping students, then, you know, the Student Affairs Division is where it's at. Tonight, I want to spend this whole hour talking about Student Affairs and some initiatives that are now in place to not only sustain what we already are doing and have going on, but to improve all of our services for students. For me, mental health is the priority and the reason for this show. So I thought it would be helpful to talk about wellness initiatives that are being implemented by Student Affairs. And so it only makes sense that I would invite the Vice President of Student Affairs, Dr. David Grady, on the show to discuss these initiatives. How are you tonight?
Good.
Thank
Glad
you.
Glad to be with you.
Thank you. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you ended up not only in Student Affairs, but at the University of Alabama.
Well, I've been here since June the 15th this summer, and moved here after spending 23 years at the University of Iowa in a variety of student affairs positions.
The Hawkeyes.
The Hawkeyes. They're 7-0.
So far in football?
In football. So we'll see.
Are they Division I?
They're Big Ten.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. This has turned into a sports show all of a sudden.
Lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
Got on sports,
how did you end up in division, student affairs, and at the University of Alabama?
And this is not my first tour of duty here at the University of Alabama. I was here
That's
as assistant
right.
director of student life between 85 and 88. Went off to graduate school at the University of Texas, and then went up to the University of Iowa. This is like coming home. I met my wife here. My two kids go to school here.
Aww.
And so I... this was a great opportunity to be able to come back, and I'm excited. It's a great time to be at the University of Alabama with the new president, the leadership.
A lot of changes.
That he's providing. And so I'm looking forward to
excuse me.
Working here and working with students and working with faculty and staff to advance the university a little further.
Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Mississippi.
Okay.
Southwest Mississippi. I did my undergraduate work at Mississippi State. Was over there for I went to a community college for 2 years. Then went up to Starkville for a couple of years.
I did the same thing. Not at Mississippi State, but I went to community college and then transferred. Yeah.
My undergraduate degree is actually in banking and finance, and so I.
Wow.
Wow, it is a change. So I actually.
The look on my face is puzzled.
I worked for an accounting firm doing consulting for about a year before I went to graduate school to study higher education. How I got into student affairs as an undergraduate at Mississippi State, I was the treasurer of the student government. I had the opportunity to work with the dean of students and the vice president for student affairs there. And I saw how they helped me develop and some of my colleagues there developed. And I thought that would be a cool thing to work on a college campus the rest of my life. And so,
me too. And it is. It's never boring, is it?
It is never boring.
I mean, I tell people all the time, I'm not a morning person, but I do not mind getting up and coming to work in the morning because I just never know what I'm going to come into.
Right. It is, I get up every morning excited about coming to work and excited about working with students and seeing them develop and the thousands of students that I've had the opportunity to work with over my 25-plus year career.
Yeah.
Still keep in touch with a lot of them. Still hear from them, and it's a great business to be in. And I'm so glad that I went this direction.
You said that when you were here, you worked for the Office of Student. You were the Assistant Director of Student Life.
Right.
Is that what they called Student Affairs back then? Or
no, it's probably more what the Dean of Students is today.
Okay.
I work with
attorneys
toward your life, parents orientation, alcohol education.
Yeah.
Non-academic misconduct.
So much has changed, hasn't it? I mean, not just the look of our campus, but in all the different services that you're mentioning and the expansion of those services and the needs for the students, which we're going to talk about in a minute.
Right. I think when I left here in 1988, there were 18,000 students. Now we've more than doubled that now. So we're at 37,100 this fall.
I think I was here in 1988. We were here at the same time.
Oh, no.
Oh my gosh. It's kismet. So tell me a little bit. You were at the University of Iowa for how many years?
For about 23 years.
In student, did they call it student affairs?
Student life.
Student life. So in your opinion, what's different about working somewhere like Iowa and working somewhere like the University of Alabama? Not to put you on the spot, but I'm curious.
You know, they're very similar institutions. They're both state.
About the same size?
State flagship. Iowa's a little smaller, about 32,000 students. And Iowa's a little different in that about one-third of its student population are graduate and professional students. There's one of the largest teaching hospitals in the world. It's located there.
Didn't know that.
Dentistry. Law,
they've got it all.
Pharmacy, all on that one campus.
Mm-hmm.
Students are about the same. There's a large population of out-of-state students there. There's a lot of students from the state of Illinois that go to the University of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very similar here with the out-of-state students.
What about online? Do you count online too? Do they have an online program? You know, for
there are
degrees. Because here it's pretty big on this campus too,
right.
So that's pretty neat. Tell me, so you said you met your wife here, and both of your kids go here,
right?
But you went to Mississippi State,
right? I did.
What happened?
She did a better job brainwashing the kids than I did.
I was hoping you would say that. Did you say brainwash?
Yeah. It is still about brains, right?
Yeah, I guess. Whatever. Change the subject. Okay, so how has student life changed over the course of your years? You know, with your experience in higher education, I mean, you started out as the treasurer,
right?
Because of your background, I'm assuming, in banking.
Right, and banking and finance.
Uh-huh.
So how student life changed? You know, a lot of the basics are still the same.
Yeah, I think so.
Trying to support students, make sure they're successful. The way they're delivered are different. You know, when I started work there.
You mean like Facebook?
It's
social media,
email, those type of things. You know, when I came here, I think they still did registration on cards on the floor of the arena or something, or maybe Foster.
They did, card. And then they went to Albert. Do you remember that? Yes, the phone system.
Yeah. So it's a lot different. I mean, the technology has changed quite a bit, but the students are same. The student needs are the same. You know, there's been some. some change in there, particularly in the mental health issue. There's a lot more students getting diagnosed with
ADHD and
learning disabilities that are coming to college now that I think is probably a little different. They're probably undiagnosed when we were back in school.
Probably. Definitely, because most of the students, well, I won't say most, I can't really even say what percentage, of students who come to the counseling center have already seen a counselor, you know, and that's changed even since I've been here in the 10, 11 years I've been here.
Which I think is good. I mean, it used to be folks thought it was bad.
Yeah. It was taboo.
Shrink.
Yeah. They think I'm crazy kind of thing. And you still run into a lot of students whose parents will discourage them, or they don't want to tell their parents they're coming to the counseling center because of that.
Right, and it's a good thing for FERPA and HIPAA that we don't have to tell the parents
that. We don't have to. I can't even tell the vice president of student affairs anything about any of our clients, even if you came over there and demanded it. Did you know that?
That's true.
Okay.
I don't have a need to know.
I hope not. For those of our listening audience that may be unfamiliar with the organizational chart of the university, describe student affairs. I named some of the departments, but give us some. I know there's many more.
We've got about 17 departments on our campus. In our work, we've got about 240 full-time employees and about 2,000 student employees that help us accomplish our work. So the departments that students might be familiar with, we do some assessment and planning in for the division, the Blackburn Institute, the Career Center, the Center for Service and Leadership, mm-hmm. the Counseling Center, Dean of Students, External Affairs, Ferguson Center, the First Year Experience and Parent Programs, Fraternities for Early Life, Housing and Residential Communities, Student Care and Well-Being, Student Conduct, Student Involvement, Student Media, that includes the radio station that we're talking about. University Programs, University Recreation, Veterans and Military Affairs, and the Women and Gender Resource Center.
Yeah, I forgot to even name them, and they're our neighbors, the WGRC. Yeah. What about...
they'll probably take your parking place.
That's the beauty of our building, is we have great parking. I shouldn't have told you that, right? You mentioned assessment. And I wanted to talk about that because before, I always say this every week, before I actually do a show, I try to do some research so I kind of can look or act knowledgeable about the topic. But I found some interesting information about us. First of all, how do you know whether or not we're going to get into the reason I asked you to come here tonight was to talk about wellness initiatives. But how do you measure that? Do you know, I don't want to put you on the spot again, but how is that measured? How do you know if a student is flourishing? I've read a lot about flourishing in the last few days. So,
you know, whether a student's flourishing or their learning outcomes, those are hard things to measure. That's why we got good folks that understand assessment and know how to get to those get to those answers that help us out and design the assessment tools that we use to get that sort of data.
Uh-huh.
Some of it's satisfactions. So there's a lot of different ways.
Probably. I mean, I know in our department, you know, in the counseling center, once a year, maybe once or twice a year, I want to say it's at the end of each semester, we do an outcome survey. So is every department doing that?
Some do a better job than others.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think we do is we've got to establish a culture within the division, actually within the university, to get
That's
right. that kind of data. You know, it's this assessment data that helps us tell our story. It helps us tell our story in order to get more resources.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us tell our story when we're talking.
Recruiting. Mm-hmm.
Talking to parents and students about things. It helps us as we design our programs. It helps us to determine which programs to continue to offer and which programs that we need to stop doing.
Thank you for that. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I want to ask you about retention. You mentioned the different ways that Student Affairs is involved with recruiting, for instance, and we need to talk about how to keep students here.
Absolutely.
So when we come back, you're listening to Brain Matters. We're with Dr. David Grady. He's the Vice President of Student Affairs. Come back and listen to us on 90.7 The Capstone.
90.7 The Capstone Wednesday nights from 8 to 9 for the R&B Hour, hosted by yours truly, Ben. I'll be playing R&B hits from the past as well as what's topping the charts today. So tune in to 90.7 Wednesday nights at 8 for the best R&B music around.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show host or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Hey, we're back on Brain Matters. I'm BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight about the Division of Student Affairs and the initiatives that our division is trying to propose and trying to implement for the better of the university and our students here. We've got Dr. David Grady. He's the Vice President of Student Affairs. And when we left off, I wanted to ask you, Dr. Grady, about how Student Affairs as a division, because you said there's 17 different departments, different offices, including the Counseling Center. That's a shameless plug. How are we all contributing to retention, keeping students at the university?
We all play a critical role in keeping students, and it's a role that everybody has on campus. Just as everybody has a role in the recruitment process, mm-hmm. everybody has a role in the retention of our students. The division is working with the academic affairs to see what we can do to improve retention and on-time completion of degrees. We're kind of average as an institution where we are in terms of year 1 to 2 retention and our 4 and 6 year graduation rates. And we're pulling together a group of folks across campus to look at that and see what type of initiatives that the university should be doing, what type of best practices that or being successful at other campuses right. that we can implement here in order to drive those numbers up.
We do a pretty good job of retaining students here.
Yeah, we do a good job. We can do better.
Always. I mean, with our department, with the Counseling Center, you know, several times, I don't know how many times in the semester, we do have to give students medical withdrawals, but that's understandable. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the student is not a UA student.
Right.
It's just for that semester.
Right.
But some people get confused about right. that.
Yeah, and you know, it's when they start, you know, when they take that snapshot to determine what your rates are.
That's right.
That matters as well.
I want to read an excerpt from an article, and this I showed this to you in the break. The actual article is called The Well-Being and Flourishing of Students. And like I mentioned earlier, I've seen the word flourishing a lot in doing research about student affairs and initiatives. You know, you came and spoke to us as a division last month. Each month we meet as a division. And Dr. Grady spoke to us last month about the initiatives that we are trying to implement. And there's 3, civility, engagement, and well-being. I'm more interested in well-being, of course, but can you give a short definition of civility and engagement?
Sure. Civility is a behavior that promotes respectful interactions among all members of the UA community. So it's, you know, honoring and recognizing diversity of identities, backgrounds, and perspectives of our students.
Right.
Engagement we look at that as active participation and intentional opportunities for student learning development. So that's a lot of our out-of-classroom activities. It's what happens in the residence halls, mm-hmm. Even what happens on the intramural fields and those type of things.
So with the three initiatives that you just described, how does that play into the unit, and this might be a deep question, but how does that play into the 3 mission implementations of the university, research, teaching, service? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it plays well into that because we, in order for it there to be teaching and learning by students, we've got to have a campus environment that is
respectful.
Mm-hmm. Where students are engaged inside and outside of the classroom.
I have a question that's come in from the email, and it's anonymous. They say, okay, here goes. There are a lot of things to like about our campus. The single best one is, fill in the blank. Dead air.
On a day like today, walking across, and just the beauty of the campus.
It is. I think fall, I just love fall. I think it's the prettiest time of the year. But then when the trees start blooming in the spring, right. I say it's the prettiest time of the year then, too. Right.
You know, it was dead air because I was thinking there's so many choices. I think, you know, the students, the people I work with.
Yes. You know what I was going to say?
What?
The elephant topiary.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Have you seen that?
I have.
What is the one thing students, this person has like numerous questions. Okay. I'm sorry. What is the one thing students would be surprised to learn about you?
I have
this could go. Get ready for the delay switch, Jordan.
I have seen in person or met every president since Richard Nixon.
You have not.
I have too.
That's pretty unique.
Not bad from a kid from Mississippi.
I'm speechless. That's pretty unique.
I've got pictures to prove it too, if we need to.
Whatever. Okay, so did you meet them in the capacity as at Iowa?
Several of them.
Gosh, I can't top that. Usually I can, but I can't that one. Okay. If you had one wish, for campus and or the students, what would it be? This sounds like a beauty pageant question, which we had that topic 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So
that is a good question.
I know.
I think just that they can be successful. That they can you know come here, they can fulfill their dreams, so that they can go out, leave here, and be great global citizens.
Yeah, for me, I would like to be able. My one wish would be to give students the confidence that they need to like cope.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I see the most issues with is just poor coping. And some of it is immaturity, but some of it is they've never had that modeled at home. Okay, that's a whole nother show.
Maybe another way is just they wouldn't look at their phones and when they're walking across the street.
Forget that. I mean, I had a football player. Okay, this is a tangent. I had a football player 1 year, and he pulled out his phone, you know, in a session. Oh, my gosh, I went ballistic on him, and I couldn't help it because that's just so rude in a counseling session. So he only came back a couple of times, but he was being forced to be there anyway. Okay, let's see. Let me read you this excerpt because, like I said, I've done all this research, and I want to kind of show off a little bit.
I like those other questions. There are more.
I'm going to get to those. Okay. We've got about six more other questions, so I'm going to sporadically, you know, I can tell you like to interact with the students.
I do.
Do you do anything like surprise students at the food court? I call it the food court. Fresh food company or places like that, the dining halls, and pull up a chair and eat with them?
I have not done that, but I have done it at other places. I do like.
You might get some weird looks.
I do like to get around and.
Can I tweet that?
Sure.
Okay.
I do like to get around and go to student organization activities, go to their meetings, get an opportunity to meet them, see what they're doing.
I spend a lot of time
during homecoming week at events and the same thing at the beginning of school. So it's fun.
Well, I think it's important for students to see administrators, you know, and to know them by name, recognize their face, and feel like you are engaged with them. I mean, anybody's like that.
Right.
Okay, let me get to this.
I'm also out on Twitter. Students can follow me, Bama VPSA.
Yes, I'm about. You're going to be posting a picture in a minute.
I'm about 99 followers from 1,000.
What? So. You got a little ways to go.
I know.
I mean,
I'm going to give
Miley
a prize.
Miley Cyrus has a few on you.
Yeah, I'm going to give a prize to whoever's 1,000. $8.99 is what I got. So I must have lost. So 101 I need.
Really?
Yeah.
You can do that tonight. We've got at least 100 listeners. You know it.
We'll see.
Okay, so look, this article I showed you is called The Well-Being and Flourishing of Students. And what it's talking about is a program that sounds very similar to the initiatives that we're trying to push here. And it's called Bringing Theory to Practice. And so the first section, you know, is perspectives and implication, connecting the wholes, H-O-L-E-S, to produce a whole, W-H-O-L-E, student well-being as a unifying factor. Let me read this to you. The importance of student well-being is beginning to reemerge as a key component of higher education. It has always been there, embedded in our mission statements, fondly remembered by aging alumni in reference to a particular faculty or staff member, and trotted out for special attention in reference to our traditions, or more cynically, in connection to our fundraising. But this time is different. Efforts are underway to delineate what we mean by the numerous ways we understand and then label what herein I am calling well-being, be it flourishing, well-being, wholeness, thriving, identity, or a myriad of other terms we use on our campuses. A common thread in this effort is our conceptual reach back to the Aristotelian, that's deep, concept of eudaimonia. Why did I pick this excerpt?
I took Latin in high school, but I don't
remember. Translate for us. It is not about some superficial or even transient experience of being happy, or even about feeling happy, but rather it turns to that more important sustainable quality of purpose that underlies our sense of self, our motivation to persist, our trust in agency, and our responsibility to act for the common good.
That is deep.
I know. But to me, it kind of embodies all of the divisions, if you think about that.
Right.
That last sentence about motivation to persist, our responsibility to act for the common good.
And that's what we want to do as professionals, but also what we want students to do while they're on campus and once they leave and are active in their communities.
Yeah, you know, I noticed, and I've spoken about this before, I know students were engaged on campus before the tornado, but it seemed like they weren't as interested in the community of Tuscaloosa. It really kind of felt like they were only here for 4, 5, 6 years to just get their education and not really interact with the, I mean, I've had students that don't even know where Northport is.
Right.
I mean, hello, it's right there. And I can understand that because a lot of our students don't have cars, and so they don't venture out. But after the tornado, it's like the students filled a need that was there that we could not produce as a community. And it bonded the community even more.
Right.
And it bonded with the university.
Yeah. Disasters have a
way of doing,
way
that.
Of doing that.
I hate to say it, but yeah.
You know, but it'll be interesting to see once that generation of students has left, and we may, it's been 5 years since the tornado.
2011. In April, it'll be 5 years.
5 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we may have students that were here at the time of the tornado may have graduated. And so.
That's right. They have.
The folks that are, the new students that are coming may not realize there was even a tornado.
It's true. And so how are, is the Division of Student Affairs helping students to engage more with the community?
We're doing that through a lot of our volunteer programs, through the Center for Service and Leadership. They've got alternative spring break programs. The Blackburn Institute is doing that this weekend or next week.
The Blackburn Institute. Tell us what they're doing.
They're doing a trip with their students down to the Wiregrass area down in southern
Dothan
part of the
Enterprise down in there.
That part of the state. And doing community service projects and learning about that region of the state.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, as far as going back to civility, and we're coming up on a break, and I want to ask this one question. Civility, engagement, well-being are the three main initiatives. Civility has always puzzled me. Your definition made sense to me. But as far as how to be able to measure that at the counseling center, we've always been a little bit puzzled about that, and we have tweaked our outcome survey to reflect some of that. Do you have any suggestion on how we can do that while I've got you here?
Well, I think that's up to the staff at the counseling center to determine what the best way to measure that is, because you're interacting every day with those students and know how best to maybe get to that.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard sometimes without coming out and just point blank saying, how are you being respectful on campus?
Right.
You know, let us take a break. Another break. We'll be right back, and then I'll shoot another question to you from the email. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Joe Tessitore from SEC Nation. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone. Roll Tide.
Who says you got to choose between country, soul, folk, or rock and roll? Every time you listen to the Cosmic American Hour, you're going to get a little bit of everything. That's every Sunday night from 9 to 10 right here on 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
For a lot of women.
Okay, we're back. We're back. You're listening to Brain Matters, and we're just talking and showing each other pictures. Dr. Grady is our guest tonight. He's the Vice President of Student Affairs, and we're talking tonight about some Student Affairs initiatives. Student Affairs is a very, to me, I think it's the most important division on campus. Some would argue with that because academic affairs is very important. That's why people come here. But if you are not successful in socializing and, you know, I don't know what else you would call it, being involved in maybe some organizations, being a part of Greek life, then you're really missing out, and that's where Student Affairs is at.
A student, even if they're taking a full load of 15 hours, is only class 3 to 5 hours a day. So what they do outside the classroom will really determine their success. So that's why we want students involved in activities, taking advantage of the services that we have.
Definitely. To me, there's just about no excuse now to not be involved in something extracurricular,
right?
Unless you just don't want to be, and I'm not going to make somebody do that.
Well, there are 510 student organizations on this campus, and if there's not one that you've got an interest in, you get 9 of your buddies and form a new one.
Yeah, because it doesn't take much. I forgot who the guest was. We had a guest on talking about that, how you can organize your own organization. Let's get to what's really important here. Your picture of you with John Bon Jovi. Oh, it's pretty shallow. I told Dr. Grady it's pretty shallow of me to just be so enamored with John Bon Jovi over the other political bigwigs that you have pictures of. How did you meet John Bon Jovi?
He was there for a political event. He did an acoustic set, and I was just hanging out backstage.
Hanging out backstage.
Talking about kids and things like that.
Wow. Speechless.
I mean, it was only 2 or 3 songs, but very good.
Do you think you could get him to come here? Okay, so
we didn't exchange phone numbers.
Whatever. Okay, let's talk some more about. See, I've lost my whole train of thought now.
You had questions from the phone.
Thank you. Take over for me for a minute. All right. Ooh, this one's a tough one. How are you working to foster, you and Student Affairs, working to foster a greater sense of independence, autonomy in students, given the given the current environment of helicopter parenting, which they are now calling bulldozer parents?
I've heard that. And I've experienced
that. I was going to say, I bet you've met a few.
You know, I think that's one of the changes I've seen in higher education over the over my career, is that at one time, parents weren't very involved in their students. You know, you talk to your parents one day a week.
Amen.
On Sunday afternoon, mm-hmm. usually.
That
was before cell phones.
Kind of throw them a bone.
Or before you put cell phones in your pocket. Mm-hmm. But parents are a lot more involved in their students' lives. You know, students will text or talk to their parents multiple times a day. And you see that, what I think is in some cases over-involvement and unhealthy involvement by their students, by the parents.
Yes.
Because I think it limits the decision-making that students have to make. We view parents as partners, and I think they can be very... very helpful.
Very
dealing with students. You may have had dealing with students when a student may need to drop out for a semester,
sure.
because of health issues. Mm-hmm. We know that students turn to parents. I mean, they're the second most consulted people
besides peers
after Google.
You are kidding me.
On health issues, they are. So it's good to have them involved. But the over-involvement, I don't think teaches students how to deal with this once they're out. So anytime that there's a parent that wants to get involved, I try to bring it back to the students. And if the student parent wants to meet, try to make sure we bring the students in on that conversation.
And, you know, you tell me your opinion, but I think that comes from the culture that we've created, that you can't fail. There's so much competition, not only for scholarships, but when you get here to college, for jobs after you get out. And so I think parents have a huge fear that their child is going to fail, when, in fact, failure, we know, can make a person stronger.
Absolutely.
And make them resilient. And so you can't prevent that.
Yeah. You know, you as a parent, you don't want to see your son or daughter fail.
No.
or hurt. But it is...
inevitable, really.
It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Einstein said, you know, I didn't have a thousand failures. I've learned about a thousand things that didn't work. And so I think
the way you look at it,
if students can learn from their experiences, if parents will let them, step off the curve,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's helpful. Now, again, there are some parents that are great.
Yeah. We're not bashing parents.
No.
Disclaimer.
And as a parent, it is hard. You want to jump in and rescue your parents, but that's not always healthy. I mean, rescue your
yeah, that's a whole nother show right there. No, I was going to say, you know, we've had parents to actually, and you've probably, maybe you have experienced this personally. I can't imagine either one of my parents calling one of my professors, much less the president of the university, much less the vice president of student affairs. It happens a lot, doesn't it?
It does. And don't tell my son or daughter that I call.
Hmm. I've got steam coming out my ears. You can't see it right now. Okay, here's another question. You ready? From the emails. This is from an emailer. Okay, how about the importance of helping students learn to cope with perceived failures? We just talked about that. Or losses, given many of them have never had any practice dealing with failures since they've been protected from it prior to college, which is kind of what we just talked about. He says, obviously, let's see. All right, let's go to the next one. Oh, all right. This person says she is curious as to how he envisions that we as mental health professionals, so this is from somebody who is a mental health professional, maybe somebody in my office, can promote some of these goals, particularly civility. Given that racism is a very real problem on this campus, I'm always wondering how we as a university plan to promote civility in a more general sense.
I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah.
And I think depending upon the situation the mental health professional's in, is they'll have to play about ear on that.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is make sure that we have a welcoming and inclusive environment for all of our students.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, I think one of the things that's been healthy for the institution in its growth is the number of out-of-state students we have.
More now than in-state, isn't it?
And it gives a different perspective because you're dealing with people from all over the country, and then we've the international
all
students
the world,
that we
yeah.
have now. I think that's healthy. But you know, there are some racial issues on the campus that we've got to address, and we've got to look in the mirror and make sure that we're doing the right thing and that we're doing the right type of programs and providing the right types of services for all of our students and to make sure they feel welcome here.
Are there any student leadership organizations that you're aware of? I know you just arrived in June, but even back in Iowa, it probably isn't that different. Are there any student leadership organizations that are working on this issue, civility?
Well, I think there are probably several out there, Blend, Crossroads.
Mm-hmm. Even SGA.
SGA mm-hmm. working on that. I mean, SGA has been really working on the It's On Us, which is a sexual
yes.
assault awareness campaign.
Let me ask you this question before we go back to the emails. The well-being bandwagon is gaining traction across college campuses as administrators seek to demonstrate the value of college and broaden the definition of success beyond employment rates and earnings. How would you interpret this concept of well-being for our listening students? That is to say, why is it important?
Well, I think your well-being is going to be important to your success. If you're dealing with stress, if you're dealing with financial issues, if there are other things that,
mm-hmm. that arrest, even, I mean, I hate to bring that up, but we did mention the Office of Student Conduct,
right.
or something that you've done that is against the Code of Student Conduct.
Right. So, I think we've got the services on campus, like the Counseling Center, the services offered through the Women's and Gender Resource Center, that can help students get through this these issues.
What about let's go back to the lines.
Okay.
In your opinion, what are some of the keystones to successful cross-campus collaboration regarding mental health services and an attention to student well-being?
Well, I think one of the things about being a part of a university and here and other places I've worked is sometimes they can become bureaucratic and silos can develop.
Uh-huh.
And so it's important to work across those silos, work across the divisions so that you're doing the best thing for the students and the best thing for the institution. And the same thing I think applies in the mental health areas as well.
Talking about silos, define that. Because I'm learning the student affairs lingo here. What does silos mean?
I mean, it's a silo just like you would see on a farm. It's around a particular area where there's not a lot of collaboration, not a lot of communication with
okay.
others. So you build it around a department or an area where.
So it is just like what I thought. That's cool.
They're not very healthy in organizations.
Hmm. What about, I'll ask you this when we come back. Jordan's giving me the signal now that we're coming up on another break. This is going by fast.
It is.
It's really going by fast. We've got several more email questions that are coming in, so we'll get to those in just a minute. I'm keeping them all anonymous. I just think that's safer. I think we get more questions when it's anonymous. If you want to email us questions, it's brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. So go ahead and send those for Dr. Grady or myself. And we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
I was only walking through your neighborhood, saw you light on honey in the cold. I stood anywhere I go, there you are. Anywhere I go, there you are. I've been getting used to waking up with you. I've been getting used to waking up here.
Tuscaloosa weather is brought to you by WVUA-TV. You can catch the latest forecasts on WVUA News now in high definition on weekdays at 4, 5, 6, and 10 o'clock, and every weekend at 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Andrew.
This is David.
We're the Revivalists. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Okay, we're back on Brain Matters. You're listening to Dr. David Grady, who is the Vice President of Student Affairs, and myself. I'm BJ Gunther from the Counseling Center. We're talking tonight about student affairs and the initiatives that our division has for students, which includes well-being, and that's a priority for me, being a mental health professional. And we're taking questions via email, if you want to email them, in our last segment here to brainmattersradio@wvuafm.ua.edu. Ready for the next question?
Yeah, and thanks, Alan, for being the my 900th follower.
Are you talking about my Alan?
Your Alan.
Hey, shoot, why couldn't you have been 1,000? He's going to give away prizes, you said.
Got at least one listener.
Okay. Where do you see the university in 5 to 10 years?
I think the university is going to be in a great place. I think there'll be
60,000 students.
No, I don't. I'm not sure it'll be there. I think that, and one of the things that I've seen about this university, since I was here in the late 80s and today, mm-hmm. is that even with the growth that it's experienced, it's still a student-centered institution.
It really is, isn't it?
It's an institution that cares about its students and cares about the success of those students.
And
inside
I've heard
and outside
that,
the classroom.
Well, and I'll tell you, I have heard that numerous times. I don't know if you have yet, but I have heard that numerous times from students that I've seen at the Counseling Center, and they're from like Hawaii or California. Right. I'm like, why did you come to the University of Alabama? Well, when I visited, it just felt like home.
Yes, and that's, and that's what it is. So I think that, I forgot what your question was now.
Where do you see the university in 5 to 10 years?
So, I think it's there. I think that you'll see we'll still offer top academic programs. There may be an increase in graduate and research enterprise mm-hmm. Efforts on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be a great institution. I mean, there's so much promise here with the University of Alabama, what's available on the Bryce campus, the great facilities, the great faculty and staff that are here.
I don't know how it can get much better, to be honest. I mean, with the residence halls.
Right.
I mean, hello. The new rec center. Oh, my gosh.
We got great facilities.
It's amazing. Okay, so what do you foresee student affairs' role will play as the university continues to grow over that time span?
We're going to be there to continue to support students. Way I look at student affairs is we're a partner in the academic enterprise. We complement what's happening in the classroom. We help students make the connection between what they're learning in the classroom and what they're experiencing outside the classroom.
That's the key.
And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing outside, whether it's in student employment or a student organization, what you're learning
you know, as a treasurer, your student organization, how can that apply to your accounting class or your business management class, and vice versa?
Yeah.
What are you learning as an official at Intramurals about how to handle conflict? You know, those are
how to break up fights on the field.
Let's say dealing with conflict.
It is a live show.
So, you know, we just need to help students make those connections. So.
And honestly, you can say this because you were here when I was here. Back in the 80s, the greatest decade ever. That's what I see as so much more different. Did that make sense? That's what's different now, because I feel like we do a better job of connecting those two than we did back in the old days, where you just go to class. And, yeah, you had the opportunity to participate, but there just wasn't as much there.
Right. I think that's... While we have in our definition of engagement, that it needs to be an intentional activity.
Good. What would you say to a new student who's new to campus or maybe having trouble finding a fit during their freshman year? That's a good question.
I think they need to...
How can I get involved, making friends, right, and begin developing a network?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do is, you know, make sure when you're here for orientation. I mean, it actually starts at the recruitment process.
Definitely, when they're still in high school.
When they're still in high school. You meet the people that are on the campus tour with you. You meet people in your hometown that are coming to the University of Alabama. When you're here for Bama Bound, you meet people here, start making those connections. When you move into the residence hall, you meet people on your floor, go to floor meetings, talk to your RA about what's available on campus. You go to get on board day.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in class, you meet your classmates. You just don't go in. You meet your classmates. If you're in honors, you get involved with those activities. You get involved with intramurals or going to the rec center. So there's a variety of different ways that you can do that. What you don't do is go to your room and close the door and sit there.
Well, and I will tell you, on that note, when they were building, and I don't know what kind of residence halls, you know where I'm going with this. When they were building the residence halls here, we as mental health professionals did have concerns about the style, because it is a lot easier for students who have a tendency to have like social phobia, social anxiety, issues mixing, to just stay in their rooms and not come out. I mean, come out for classes, but not really come out to socialize, you know, and that, I think that plays into retention too.
And you know, that's why we want to, from, you know, everything that we talk with them about through the recruitment process, through
kind of
orientation,
mm-hmm,
through the startup of classes, is to tell students to get out and get involved on campus.
Mm-hmm. That nobody's going to come and pull you out of that,
right,
you know, out of that room. Well, I've done that once, but it was for a different issue. Okay, more question.
And mom and dad's not there to wake you up.
Do you know they, well, I could tell you a story about that, but I can't breach confidentiality. Okay, one more question, and then we're
going to. There are some services that will call you in the morning.
I bet
there's parents,
please,
that call students.
And the laundry service, did you know about that?
I did.
Whatever. Okay, so this person, let's see, wants to know about, it's kind of like the question that we had just a minute ago about how, when different offices have like different awareness, you know, campaigns like alcohol awareness, body image, suicide awareness, how could the departments coordinate better? Does that make sense? Collaborate better.
Well, part of that's communication.
I think so too.
As in higher education, we have limited resources. I mean, that's physical.
Financial. I mean, let's face it.
And human. And so we need to make sure that we make the best use of our resources. One way to do that is to work together and collaborate.
And some of it's personality, isn't it?
Right. And it's that. But it also needs to be done in a way where people don't care who gets the credit.
Boy, isn't that the truth. That's what shocked me the most when I started working here. you know, because I had come from just having a private practice. I'd never worked on a college campus. And I just could not fathom, like, people not getting along, like, different departments. And it happens.
Right.
There's a lot of competition.
It happens. And
I couldn't.
I mean, it's not unique. It's not unique to higher education. It happens in a lot of places.
In banking, too. Okay. Thank you for being on the show. This was a privilege and honor. The whole hour, I know you're worn out.
It's great. It's been fun.
Yeah, it has.
Thanks for having me.
And it's recorded. That's what my next announcement. Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted. They'll be on the Counseling Center's website sometime in the future at counseling.ua.edu. If you want to listen to past shows, click on the Brain Matters icon. It'll take you to some of those shows. You can also go to audioboom.com, type in WVUAFM, and then type in Brain Matters, and our shows will pop up on that website also. Let me mention, let's see, I always like to thank a few people who have made this show possible. Dr. Lee Keyes, he's our executive director at the Counseling Center. Terry Siggers of the Office of Student Media. My production assistants, Jordan Williams, Natalie Beck, and Dorothy Beck, my colleagues at the Counseling Center, the WVUA staff, and of course my guest tonight, Dr. David Grady, who's the Vice President of Student Affairs. Also, thanks for all the great email questions. This is the first week we've really had a plethora of questions, and I think we got to all of them. I hope we did. We'll return next Tuesday when the topic will be attending college as a single parent. We've never done that before. Thanks for listening tonight. You've been listening to Brain Matters, and don't forget, Geek Life is next.